Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZZ2 Podcast, where three friends discover ancient coins and use this power to defend their home of Colorado. As always, I am the Black Mastodon, Zach.
Blue Triceratops, Steven.
And we decided, I guess this makes me the Red Ranger, Zach.
The Red Tyrannosaurus, come on.
Come on, man.
Okay.
You have to know your spirit dino.
No, I don't know my spirit dino.
You have to bond
dino
with your Zords, because they are sentient in like every other season. And then you had to bond with them in order to form the Megazord.
I thought seeing the Power Rangers movie, it would finally be done. No, now it's just like accelerated it.
Well, I mean, did you look like, okay, there's the news.
Like half the thing, half the freaking notes
became
goddamn Power Rangers.
I was talking to Power Rangers. Well, the sequel comic comes out this week on the 29th. Power Rangers Aftershock, which is after the movie. And it was really interesting. Bleeding Cool has like a 15-page preview of it that I read this morning before coming over.
I'm pretty sure we get a copy of the comics as we went through Fandango.
No, we get the 15-page preview.
Ah.
Yeah. I was just letting for anyone else to know. Yeah, we saw the Power Rangers movie. We're going to be talking about that later, by the way. They played Communion by Revocation. Yeah. That's the best thing ever about that movie.
That was pretty entertaining.
Spoilers that we will talk about later.
Because like, I'm pretty sure like everybody like looked at us. We were just like, yeah. Like, I'm jammed to this.
Well, it's like Adam, who's not sitting near us, texted me. It's like, they're listening to Zach music. But yeah. So speaking of pretty freaking heavy metal things, though, the Justice League trailer came out.
I feel like they're trying to capture that the Justice League Unlimited vibe with the music choices they went with.
I don't know what it is, but I appreciate all these movie trailers now that are like syncing up their action sequences to the music. Like,
that's been a pretty common thing for a while.
I know, and I just love it lately. Like Suicide Squad did it really well with the whole ballroom blitz, and then this new Justice League trailer.
One thing that I've been really tired of is when the music like builds is like dun 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 as they like cue in their punches. I'm just like, okay, you were clearly cutting that scene to line up with these beats.
Yeah, whoever cuts the DC trailers does a phenomenal job. Like, honestly,
can they just be the director of all the movies?
They just need to cut the movie as well.
Come on, we got to give Patty Jenkins a chance at least. Nobody's seen Wonder Woman yet.
I'm so excited for Wonder Woman, beyond anything. And, you know, it's a shame that Patty Jenkins has taken off Dark World. But now we have her for Wonder Woman, so it's kind of like, take that, Marvel.
I get other mythology stuff.
Yeah, but the Justice League trailer is really cool because we finally see everyone actually doing something other than standing around.
Mm-hmm.
Standing and talking and one flash sequence.
Or seeing Rick and Morty in the background during that flash sequence.
I know exactly what episode they were watching, too. When Summer goes to work for the devil in his pawn shop.
There you
where
go.
Where he fixes everything, puts a curse on it. Then he turns that into like a Facebook-style business, cuts her out, and then Rick and Summer get super jacked on steroids. As
oh, that's that. That's that episode.
Yeah, when they have the montage of like anyone who does something bad, they just
go around
just, like, knocking the shit out of them. That's what that scene is from.
There you go.
And that you have X going to give it to you playing the whole time.
But I'm really glad that this trailer did not give anything away. Other than like...
Doggo? Oh, there's a dog.
Doggo.
I'm happy that this trailer didn't give anything away other than like, there's the Justice League
and
a parademons.
Yeah.
That's
and J.K. Simmons' beautiful mustache.
And the fact that Aquaman is standing on the roof with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that was one of my favorite lines in like Dress Like a Bat. I dig it. And I'm like, I'm gonna like you, Aquaman.
He seems like very much like he still was raised by humans.
Yeah,
like, part of their world.
What, like they
he doesn't seem very like kingly.
That's what I was kind of afraid of with Aquaman is they were gonna make him like too serious.
Like hook hand serious.
Yeah, like too serious and too like stoic, and I'm like, but I want fun times too. And that one line, I was like, all right, you win, Aquaman. And then him jumping off of the Batmobile.
Yeah, you may be cool, but you'll never be as cool as surfing Aquaman on the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Who then jumps and spears a parademon midair.
Yep.
And again, J.K. Simmons and his beautiful Gordon mustache.
And I feel like they cleaned up a lot of the CGI things with Cyborg, too. Like, he doesn't look as
He looks more human.
Origin PC-esque.
He doesn't look like he was green screen and then they put one piece of face in. He looks more natural.
He's the Green Man.
I wonder if it's like a combination. I wonder if they actually have like a suit for him. That they kind of what like they like certain scenes have to be CGI'd, but then other times
they, oh, like they can how just have the Iron Man scenes where they just wear kind like of the chest piece only, and then everything else is like CGI blocks.
Yeah,
or like Savitar in the new season of Flash, where they run out of budget, so they had to make him live action.
Yeah. Really?
Oh yeah, he was CGI for the first half, and then after Gorilla City, he went full on live action. Like you can tell the difference. Like CG Gorilla City happened. And then it's just a man in a suit now.
I mean,
shit, we're losing viewers.
The Gorilla City budget probably took everything.
Probably,
I'm sure a lot of CGI gorillas. You can't just copy paste all those.
We've seen Rise of the Planet.
Well, you know, the budget probably went to the abs on some of the gorillas. They went full six pack.
Andy Serkis, we need your help.
You play a gorilla. You play a CGI'd monkey.
Well, and back to the trailer, because we're getting sidelined again. Speaking of Flash, back to the trailer.
Finally asked the question.
I like how they gave context to that little clip they had from the original trailer. Like he was standing there and then flashback half an inch. I was like, why? What context does that have? But it's him zipping around. And I'm like, all right, little explanation. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. And, you know, the jokey is like, what is your superpower? I'm rich, bitch. And then in it's the same thing in Justice League War, the animated one where
Hal Jordan's like, are you just a rich guy in a bat suit?
And then he gives that little smirk and like, Batman. And he could still take them all down.
And I just love the fact that like I just love Ben Affleck as the Batman character. He captures it so well. And then I love all the posters that got released during this week. And we got to see the new bat suit, which is like the dark gray and then the white, the light gray bat symbol.
The first time I saw it, I was like, is that what like variation of dark is that? Like, and then someone said, no, it's dark gray. I'm like, okay, I think that'll look fine. Yeah, just the one, it looked like black on the gray. I was just like, that looks a little odd.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't fit very well.
But it's him probably mourning the loss of his super bro, who they didn't show in the trailer.
No,
and
thank God.
They're not showing any of the trailers because...
Don't show anything else.
Yeah,
Don't do it.
Talking about it with John at Hall of Justice, and it's like, you know, Spider-Man should never have been in the Civil War trailer because we all knew it was going to happen. But imagine that moment in the theater when they did that sequence and everyone would lose their shit. Because, again, it was, like, weeks leading up to the movie, other than, you know, Tom Holland being confirmed that he's playing Peter Parker. But, like, if they just kept all of that secret, no one knew jack shit, that would have been, like, a moment I would have lost my shit in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I lost my shit watching the trailer. I was like, it's happening. And then like, the movie came out, and I'm like,
yeah,
cool.
It's like, in the trailer, they don't show him at all. And then in the movie, it's like, Tony's like, I have a secret, like, some secret weapon. And then it just cuts to, oh shit, it's Aunt May. Oh shit, it's Peter Parker.
I have a secret weapon, the Wonder Woman theme plays. But yeah, the Justice League trailer, I mean, it's just a bunch of action sequences, but it's pretty hyped me up. Even John, I'm like, how was the trailer? I haven't watched it. He's like, it was fucking awesome.
You got the brief glimpse of Mara. I'm like, is that because
it's an Aquaman thing? It's like, yeah, it's an Aquaman thing. You know it.
Mara just floating there all regal and shit.
Yeah. He's like, if we get some water sorcery going, I will be happy.
Water magic.
I can't wait.
Zybel, bitch.
Yeah, it got me hyped. Like, I was already excited for the Justice League movie, but this one, I was like...
I think Wonder Woman will set the tone for how people go into Justice League. Like, if Wonder Woman does well and everybody really, like, latches onto it, I think that's going to lead well into people really attaching to Justice League.
Right.
It's like, all right, we got two characters we like. What about the other three? How are they going to play out? We already seem to like Aquaman. It seems like he'll steal the show.
Cal Drogo. You need him.
And then, of course, they threw Amy Adams in for 1 second.
It's like, oh, is she going to be... Like, is that when Superman comes back?
And Amy Adams.
Amy Adams looking up into the sky. Yeah.
It's like, God, it's like, parademons? I wonder what that means.
Parademons or Superman?
Parademon Superman.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or, you know, like in the animated show when Superman became like a disciple of Doomsday. That happened.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
I just want to see Henry Cavill in like the full like mullet the Superman. Oh,
God. Black suit mullet.
I want to see one person dress up as the Metropolis kid. That's all I want.
Just someone dancing in the background or something.
It's like a memorial for Superman and guys just breakdancing in the Metropolis kid outfit.
Just have Max Landis walk by in the background.
Like, what's funny is we showed our friend Adam the Death and Return of Superman video from Max Landis last night.
And Steve's never saw it either.
Funnily enough, fitting for this conversation.
Yeah.
I rewatched and I did find Matt Mercer.
Yep.
He was one of the frat bros with a backwards hat and a pop collar.
There you go.
And I'm like, oh.
His videos are so great.
That's my favorite DM back there.
That's my least favorite Overwatch character.
How dare you, sir?
I'm not good at McCree.
We'll get good.
Matt Cree.
Actually, I think I have more time playing McCree than I do, like, Genji. I refuse to play Genji no matter what.
Yeah, Mystery Heroes, Genji. Well,
hey, guys, guess what? It just pops up on the death screen.
You're Aaron, like, I got Zarya.
It's like, how dare you?
I'll at least try with Zarya.
Yeah, that's how I cry when she's like, Reinhardt. Like,
I can't play Reinhardt
either. But no.
Like, I made... Because
hold your shield up and swing at people when they get close.
Because of Mystery Heroes, I made that vow to get good at Roadhog. And I got good.
You've been playing nothing but Roadhog for the last week.
I know. I'm doing so well at it, though. In my opinion. I go positive. Massively. Anywhoozles.
Sidetrack.
Yeah. But going back to Justice League, DC has announced their latest summer events, which is called The Dark Days. And it's actually a prelude to the Greg Capullo, Scott Snyder Metal series. So Dark Days, The Forge number one, and Dark Days, The Casting number one, are a pair of specials that DC describes as the kickoff of a massive summer event and promises will break new ground in the DC publishing line. And they're actually going to be doing a live stream next Saturday, I think.
Ooh.
About what the event entails. So Scott Snyder and James Tynan will write and be joined by Andy Kubert, Jim Lee, and John Romita Jr. Spearheaded by Snyder, according to DC, the Mysteries of the Forge and the Casting will reveal the dark underbelly of the DC universe. Snyder replies, art like this demands an epic story. Dark Days posits a mystery that traces all the way back to when I started on Batman. I've hinted at them over the years with Easter eggs and clues. This is a mystery that literally begins at the dawn of man and spans the generations of heroes and villains and ultimately leads to the huge revelations about the past, present, and future of the cosmology of DC. I couldn't be more excited for Dark Days. It's the prelude to the event we've been developing for years. And Tynan
is referring to freaking Final Crisis, where Batman gets sent back to the dawn of time?
Possibly.
Like, is this all Batman's fault from all the shit he does over like 10,000 years?
Yeah, and one of the big things that I'm super happy about is that Snyder did say that this is not a hero versus hero conflict.
Hey.
And the shots project fired. That will go after this, Snyder and Capullo's project, will be very explosive. And it's the heavy metal rock opera of the Batman universe.
Yes.
It's going to be a big, epic Batman story with flaming armor and over-the-top capstone to a lot of stuff we've done with him.
You had me at flaming
armor. Fuck, yes!
Yeah.
So, like, Batman in flaming armor? Like, just full-on rock flames?
Like Mad Max? Oh, wait, no, that's Sean Gordon Murphy, who's already doing that.
Yeah, you just see Batman standing on top of a truck playing guitar with a flamethrower.
Witness me!
He'll be walking through the city and just see a guy hanging off of a building just playing the guitar with flames. Like, neat.
Cool.
But it's pretty hypey. Like, everyone on the DC subreddit and even the comic book subreddit are very engaged in it. It's like, wow, we have Andy Kubert and Jim Lee doing art. And then someone's like, we ever meet it too.
Yay. He's very hit or miss.
Long box curls.
So I think they haven't announced like the specific team of how it's going to be, but like the main guess is that each artist is going to do separate stories underneath the title, or Jim Lee and Andy Kubert are going to do one story together, pencil-wise, since they have really similar styles. I mean, it'll take a month
for them to get that done anyway.
Yeah, and then Romita's going to crank out one issue for himself. So, it'll be interesting. I'm super pumped. I mean, everything Snyder touches is gold. I just need
it. In our eyes.
I need it. Even when he wrote Superman Unchained, like, he cut Superman Unchained really short to a 9-issue series because he felt like he couldn't really capture Superman's voice that well. But that series itself was amazing, even with all of, like, the delays as it was coming out because of Jim Lee. And, you know, he's a busy guy. He's co-publisher. And a
perfectionist.
Yeah, just looking at the pencils. If you ever get, like, the deluxe edition of the trade.
Do you ever wonder how many times, like, he draws, like, a little line and then just immediately undoes it because it's like, nope, not right.
Yeah.
Like, he has a digital tablet, and it's just, he has, like, two of his fingers on the control undo button just constantly. Just, until he gets that perfect line.
I wish I could draw perfect lines.
I wish I could draw.
Stick figures, bro.
That was lame. That was funny.
There we go.
Better.
Better high fives. Moving on to, like, other big events. We finally got the first look of our Spider-Man Homecoming poster.
Spider-Man Homecoming took a dark turn.
He actually just goes.
Venom showed up way earlier than expected.
Yeah. So it's just Peter just chilling, wearing, like, the outfit from the movie where they take the tour. And then in the background, you just see Avengers Tower. Or in the other poster, he's leaning on Avengers Tower. I don't know what it is, but it's just so nice seeing Avengers Tower in New York City with a Spider-Man next to it.
It, like, feels right.
It just feels good, man.
Feels good.
Did you see that they released the Peter Parker's the homemade costume that he made as, like, you can buy that now?
Yeah, like the Zero Point figure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not the figure, like the actual costume.
Oh, like, where he just looks like Ben Reilly.
Yeah, the homemade one that they showed off in Civil War. It's like, you need a new suit. It's like, what's wrong with this one? I made it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can buy that now.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw, like, the Zero Point, the super articulated figures, where it's the hoodie and, like, just the blue. And I'm like, man, maybe this is where Ben Reilly got the inspiration. I don't know. It's cool. I'm pretty pumped. It's just nice.
When is that? Is that the summer movie?
Yeah, it's a summer.
Is it July or something? August?
Do a Google. Zach is doing a Google right now.
You dirty girl.
Ooh.
July 7th.
That's soon. I'm not ready.
Yeah, that is cool. Really early. Well, I mean, Wonder Woman's soon. Guardians comes out next month. Like, in a month and a half.
Can't wait to see Mantis.
Can't wait to see Yondu with his full-on mohawk. The OG mohawk.
Hi.
The poster they released is very blue.
Yeah.
WDWDI?
Yes.
What was it? Someone was, like, making the comment. It's like, can you imagine what the Infinity War trailer or the Infinity War poster is going to look like? Because every other person's poster is, like, just floating disembodied figures in the air with, like, maybe an arm and
the
torso.
They gotta shrink everybody down.
It's gonna be an explosion of people's body parts. It's like, there's Star-Lord's leg. Iron Man's arm.
Oh, man. It's really dark, Steve. Oh, God. I know they're fighting Thanos and all, but, man.
It's just Thanos' hand, like, just crushing all of them.
You just gotta be prepared for the inevitable.
Who's gonna die? Who's gonna die? Should we take bets on how many characters are gonna die in Infinity War that we don't care about?
Oh, that we don't care about?
Because there's 63 or something, and we've seen, like, maybe actually 20.
Well, let's see whose contract runs out.
Yeah.
Like, Chris Evans went on to say, it's like, I don't know what the plans are for me after Infinity War. I would love to keep making Captain America movies. I love playing that character. And he probably loves the paycheck, too. So, it's like, give me another Captain America movie with a Bucky story, and then let that wrap everything up. Because every Captain America movie has literally been about Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them.
What if Bucky becomes Captain America.
Or a Sam. Or what if they both become Captain America?
What if all three of them become Captain America?
They can have a North America, a South America, and a Captain America.
Can I get my Bucky Natasha story?
Can Captain Canada come in too?
No. Captain Canuck. It's Captain Canuck, sir.
Captain Canada.
I don't Canuck.
Canada.
You fucking loser.
Bri Braddock, Captain Britain.
Just have all the captains come together. Captain. Captain.
Captain.
Hey,
Captain. Captain Crunch can show up. You all need a delicious breakfast.
Who invited him?
Like, crunchitize me, Captain.
They kind of just like push him over. Yeah. They throw a shield at him. He throws a toasted bread.
Why would he throw toasted bread?
Sorry, I'm thinking of
his Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
His Captain Crunch is already spiky enough that it could kill a man. It destroys the roof of your mouth.
True story.
Speaking of things getting destroyed, though, Chris Yost of the Dark World he wrote the Dark World script, is posed to write the Silver Sable Black Cat team-up film for Sony.
Sony's like trying to get using as many of the rights as possible at this point.
So it's not known whether or not the characters are, or if this movie has any attachments to the MCU. Same thing with the Venom movie. But Sony's making that movie. And at least with the two of those characters, I feel like they could pull it off if it's just like a straight up heist.
It has to be. That's what Felicia Hardy does.
And that's what Silver Sable does. She works for the mob.
They're both heists.
Don't talk about Ant-Man. It's just not. We've gone so many weeks without talking about that movie.
Why would you bring up that old wound?
You've come out and admitted you liked Ant-Man to a degree.
To a degree. I didn't say how big the degree was.
You still.
1 degree is a degree.
You still liked it.
You can like something while hating it.
You still liked it.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead has just gotten stale.
It's literally the same plot every single season.
Walkers.
But Negan.
You've seen that film theory, right?
That it doesn't even take place in America?
No, not that one. No, it's literally... I think you sent it to me, Zach, where he's like... He goes over like every single season of Walking Dead.
Was it Matt Pat?
Yeah, it was Matt Pat.
Okay, that's on my.
It's pretty funny because it literally says like when Rick and the crew go to the farm, and first they didn't understand each other, but then they grew to understand each other's differences, and then walkers attack, so they had to go somewhere else, and it's literally that every single season. He's like, huh? I guess they really don't do anything else.
Prison, Alexandria.
Yep.
Hmm.
It's literally the same plot every single season.
You know why? It's because it's all in Rick's mind while he's still in his coma.
He can't.
He just has one memory.
He's just replaying
one thing that's in his brain that no matter what kind of situation he creates, that little tick always clicks in.
Have you read that issue of The Walking Dead?
The alien one?
The original plot.
Where Rick wakes up. It's the only issue in the entire Walking Dead series that's in color, but Rick wakes up from his coma and everyone who's died in his coma dream is alive again. So he runs into T-Dog and freaky
Glenn.
And they're like, Rick, we're so glad you're awake. And it's like, what's happening? These aliens have kept you in a coma. And then he just looks up and there's a giant UFO. It's the only non-canon.
That was the original synopsis of The Walking Dead.
Yeah. It should be the only synopsis. I can't wait when they finish the series. Like, it's not going to get renewed. And then aliens come down.
Like, fuck it, we're done anyway.
It's oh my god, that's the plot of freaking Will.i.am's Marvel comic.
Oh my god.
Will.i.am's writing the finale of The Walking Dead.
Oh, forgot to turn on Do Not Disturb mode. Do not disturb.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, going back to freaking Silver Sable and Black Cat. It'll be interesting. I mean, Dark World has its niche audience that really loves the film.
Oh, it was okay.
And then Sony really wants to retain those rights to some of these characters. So, I mean, like, use those properties. Why not, I guess? It's just, like, speculation. It's not speculation. It has been confirmed that this movie is happening.
You know why they shouldn't just use the properties? Just why not? Fantastic Four.
Sony doesn't have them.
Right. Yeah. But that's what happens when you use properties.
Fox doesn't give a shit. They're still making money off it.
Well, did you see someone owns the rights to the Wheel of Time book series to do like a film adaptation. And last year at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday night, the Wheel of Time first episode of a TV show came out. And then nothing else has ever come out since.
What?
Because they just wanted because to reset their time.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up really quick.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Wheel of Time. TV.
Google searching.
Yeah, dead and it's like silence, walk, Wheel of Time has been like this super important series for a lot of people, and it's, you know, spanning 13 freaking books, and it's so
still
bizarre.
Not done.
No, it's done.
Is it? Is it finally done?
Yeah. The author died in 2007. Brandon Sanderson took over to finish the last two books and did three books instead.
Because so, yeah. Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah, Brandon Sanderson logic.
Oh, hey.
February 2015, a pilot episode titled Winter Dragon, based on the prologue of The Eye of the World, was aired on FXX. It starred Max Ryan as Luz, Billy Zane as Ishmael.
Billy Zane!
What about his brother Willie Zane?
It aired with no announcements or publicity. Harriet McDougal initially stated she was unaware of the show ahead of time and that the film rights to A Wheel of Time were set to revert back to the Bandersnatch group a few days later, on February 11, 2015. Her comments triggered a lawsuit with Red Eagle, which was dismissed. And
it's just such a scumbaggy thing to do.
On April 29th, 2016, Harriet McDougal, or Dougal, confirmed that the legal issues have been resolved and that a TV series was in development. So they aired one episode to retain film rights and then lawsuits.
God, I hate how copyright law works. It's so fucking dumb. It's like, they don't even have to make it halfway decent. They don't have to give a shit about it. It's just like, we'll figure something out with
this. Yeah, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. Actually, you were really good, though.
Yeah, Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Alice in Zombieland. That was not good.
I didn't even know that existed.
It's a book, and Alice was a Mary Sue. And at the end, she becomes a zombie and the queen of all the zombies.
Ooh.
But she's like, yeah, I'm the best in my class at age 14. Let me get my sniper. I'm head of my class.
Click.
I have the most headshots in the entire village. Look at me being a Mary Sue.
I'm the best at what I do.
I'm the best at gun.
I'm so good at guns. No one look at my webpage history because I'm so great at guns. Oh, gosh.
There really nothing like fucking happened this week, so we're just talking about whatever.
We're going to talk about Power Rangers, and that'll be great.
Fifth week of March, man.
But Secret Empire is getting its head start as a Hydra-wide takeover.
How many books are going to get hit
like
by
you
this?
You were like hip thrusting instead of
well,
like
doing because
the double
arm. If I went full double arm, I would have hit the mic.
I mean, some of us punch the mic every week.
Yeah, some of us try not to punch the mic. Try to be respectful.
Alex Alonso revealed more details, saying that we're branding the first month issues 1-3 as United We Stand. You've likely seen that on the marketing so far. So the marketing for All New, All Different. It's all about the heroes coming together to face off against Hydra. For month 2, issues 4 and 5 will be branded Hydra Nation. And I'll let you speculate what that means. In the first week of June, we're planning a widespread Hydra takeover of the entire comics industry. This includes many popular websites, some Marvel apps and sites, and even brick-and-mortar retail locations, as well as online retailers and sales outlets. Look for some more info on that in the next few weeks. They are really, like, digging deep here.
This is my favorite comment. Marvel has previously coordinated with ABC's The View to have news broken on that mainstream talk show. Who the fuck watches The View that cares about Marvel? That's what I want to know. Like, what are they trying to... Who? What housewife audience are they trying to capture?
Some old granny.
That's what I
want to
know.
Are they watching The View? Be like, oh shit, Marvel!
I would love to know the turn back. Or
it'll
like,
be like the
that.
World of the War or War of the Worlds moment where again, Sue's
everybody
grandma
thought it's real.
Is sitting there.
Oh
like,
my goodness!
Hydra, fuck this shit!
Hell, Hydra, bitches!
So there's
like, grandma. Do you need your meds?
Oh, God, grandma's going racist again.
I thought we were done with this. Why'd you rise again?
So, on the bright side, Alonzo said one thing. They're reducing for this event is the number of tie-ins, specifically acknowledging event fatigue.
Oh, thank Christ.
So you mean they're not going to interrupt everybody's story again?
They know they fucked up.
We get that some fans or stores may have event fatigue, while others continue to demand more and more. So we think we found a happy medium for Secret Empire. So why don't they just come out with separate titles, just called, like, Secret Empire, Spider-Man. They did that with Spider-Man. It was Civil War II Spider-Man, written by freaking Christos Gage. That had nothing to do with The Amazing Spider-Man, because Dan Slott's like, clone conspiracy, bitches! I love Dan Slott and Christos Gage. They're cool.
I just hope that John doesn't give in to the Secret Empire.
Don't hide. Sora's already green and yellow. You realize that, right?
Oh, no.
It's too late.
What was it? Was it Green Lantern in the back, Sinestro up front, or Hulk in the back, Wolverine up front? Because I think he wasn't allowed to paint the front of the store orange by Carissa. I can't remember if that was the excuse. That would
have been so awesome.
We have heard retailers and fans, and we understand the issues with shipping late on events. We are doing everything in our power to keep this series on time and ending the last week of August. Stick with us here, because well before this event is completed,
now they're begging.
Things are going to get good. Just give us a minute.
It's so funny to just listen to the marketing, because they know how much shit they're in that they're just like, please don't. Don't give up on us yet. Come on. Guys, just have faith.
We swear, guys. Things are going to be awesome. Just got to stick with us.
By the way, one of the things that people have been speculating, you know how Kobik reverted Steve Rogers and he became Hydra Cap? So a lot of people are looking at this, especially with like the new revelation that Baron Von Zemo is his BFF from Hydra School. But people are like, she didn't change Cap's memories. She literally fucking reset time itself, changing Cap. And people are thinking that, again, they are going to reset Cap. I think it was an article last week with people speculating that the Cosmic Cube is going to make it so that Hydra won World War II and not the U.S. or Germany.
Oh.
Just Hydra did. Hydra's there. They're all double fist pumping. It's like, yeah, we win.
That would make more sense. Yeah. Then just all of a sudden, Cap coming in and be like, yeah, I'm Hydra. You all work for me now.
Starts speaking German. What? Cap, you okay there?
No, he speaks Hygienese.
Well, and that would also explain why Magneto would be joining Cap, is if Hydra took down the Nazis, he'd be like, yeah, no, you're cool.
Fuck yeah, down with Inhumans, bro.
It's like, yeah, I guess you're all right.
But in other
news, you save my people, let's prejudice against another. Yeah, mutants rule.
I mean, that's what he was founded on at one point.
I have
point.
A comment I'm not going to say.
Not too far off,
but
Magneto.
During Secret Empire, there is a 10-way crossover event.
Oh, fuck you, Marvel.
With Marvel's Generations. So a separate series story. So Marvel Generations will kick off in July, run through September. So one additional month from Marvel's Secret Empire.
Until it takes, you know, 6 extra months.
And the series so far is Iron Man, starring Tony Stark and Riri, written by Bendis. Spider-Man, starring Peter and Miles, written by Bendis. Miss Marvel, with Carol and Kamala, written by Wilson. Thor, with Odinson and Jane, written by Jason Aaron. Ooh. Hawkeye, with Clint and Kate, written by Kelly Thompson. Hulk, Bruce Banner, and Amadeus Cho, written by Greg Pak. That's going to be a good one. Jean Grey, Young and Old, written by Dennis Hopeless. Wolverine, with Logan and X-23 by Tom Taylor. Captain Marvel, starring Captain Mar-Vell and Carol.
Mar-Vell.
With Margie Stoll. And then Captain America with Steve and Sam, written by Nick Spencer.
So essentially, Biggs and Littles the series.
I just want Carol and Kamala to finally make up.
We are looking to honor the legacy of the entire universe, so we are taking iconic legacy heroes and pairing them with new class. It very much indicates where we are going in the future with all these characters and what we've been planning for some time for the universe. So Newsarama is like, yeah, some of these characters have teamed up recently. Some of these characters are dead, though, so... Yeah.
That'll be odd.
You know.
They weaken to Bernie's it. Yeah. They're just talking to a skeleton the whole time.
It's Logan's adamantium skeleton just chilling there.
It's just Laura talking to the adamantium statue the whole time.
Oh, please don't.
They show puppeting Banner.
So, yeah, it's like Alonzo goes on to say that How did we do this as part of the fun? Right now, Rogers isn't much of a good guy. Why would Sam want to team up with him? Banner's dead. Logan's dead. These are the questions that demand to be seen. What I will tell you is we have an ingenious device to bring them back. Oh, so a plot device.
Yeah, so the
plot device.
Introducing the wonderful MacGuffin.
Alonzo promised that the ingenious device isn't time travel or alternate realities.
MacGuffinium.
I wish I could tell you the mechanism, but that's also a bit of a spoiler. But
the best armor, plot armor.
But let's look at this.
Fuck you,
Adam. We get another Peter Parker Miles story. We finally have our Spider-Man 2, which is what Bendis wanted the second fucking arc of all new, all different Spider-Man to be. Was just a Miles Peter story, but nope, Civil War 2.
Hey, that was his own fault. He wrote that story.
So do they find this magical plot device under MacGuffin Mountain?
Nothing says it.
But maybe under Loophole Lake.
So yeah. In
Convenient Canyon, maybe?
G. Will Wilson says, at its heart, Ms. Marvel is about growing up, and a big part of growing up is discovering that your idols have feet of clay and forgiving them for their flaws.
As Yay! Adults finally!
Carol and Kamala have a close mentor-student kind of relationship, but it's been tested in some very serious ways. They've come down on opposite sides of important questions. And then Tom Taylor is going to have Logan come back. So Logan's finally coming back after 3 years.
What about X-Men Gold? What does this mean for X-Men Gold, then?
Like, is it going to be Laura going up to
Old
the
Man
end?
Logan is a part of three fucking
Yeah, what
fucking
does this
teams.
Mean? Does he just, like, kill himself or something?
Baboon.
Maybe he just... They all exist. And then possibly the son of Logan, who's appearing in X-Men Blue. Like, literally in the solicitations for X-Men Blue issue 3 or something, it's a pixelated image, and then you see Wolverine claws. Like, that's it. And it's like...
Is this where we get the Hulkverine, finally?
Oh, God.
Don't remind me of that.
Just imagining, like, the first issue of the Wolverine one is Laura just chipping away at the adamantium blob.
Ding, 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 ding.
Almost
ding.
There.
Can you breathe yet?
I see a toe.
Oh, goodness. But there's some really interesting things going on, and I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. Like, I am excited for the Bendis stories because Bendis, but, like... The Kamala story is probably going to be pretty cool.
Oh, I'm going to read the shit out of that.
You're going to buy 2 copies to read the shit out of it.
Yes.
These all sound like pretty good team-ups.
Yeah.
If they, depending on the plot device they use to bring them back.
The Phoenix. It's just Jean Grey.
Yeah, that
back.
One's going to be really weird.
So you're an older me and I'm a time-displaced you. What the fuck has been going on since I've been dead? Where is Scott dead? Where is Emma?
Well,
probably
no.
Gonna die soon.
No, there's Scott. There's just little Scott.
That one? No, the dead one.
No, the
Where's
adult.
Logan?
The adult one who's an asshole.
The puppet one.
Where's Xavier? He would never let this happen dead.
Well, you know, his brain's inside Red Skull.
That's when she just Phoenix forces
like,
the universe.
Phoenix is like,
I'm done. Fuck it. Just do
goes,
it.
Goes up to the Watch and be like, we need to change this shit.
Oh, so Nick Fury?
Yeah.
He's the Watcher now. Speaking of Nick Fury.
She flapped me like, you too? Jesus Christ. I'm out. I'm done. This universe is done.
Speaking of Nick Fury, though, the Whisper of Unworthiness has been revealed.
Yes.
After 2 years. And literally,
Hail Hydra.
Nick Fury whispers into Thor's ear, Gore was right.
Which was a
years.
It was a very long like setup thing from Jason Aaron.
Yeah, so Gore Steve.
Okay, I was really curious, like, are you joking? Like Al Gore was right?
No.
Okay, please explain this to me, because that was my first thought. Is I'm like, Gore's right. I'm like,
an inconvenient
so
truth.
Global warming.
So Gore was the main villain for in Jason Aaron's Thor God of Thunder.
The first, I think his first arc that he ever did.
The first two. And Gore was basically the God Butcher. He was going around killing different gods around the universe, and that led to the super awesome team up of past Thor, present Thor, and old man Thor all teaming up to fight him. And
that's where
Gore's,
we saw Thor with the
metal arm and beard.
Which is the current Thor.
Oh, I did not fuck up the link. So... the whole thing, you know, it was revealed this week in Unworthy Thor when Beta Ray Bill was telling Odinson to grab the ultimate hammer. Where is the fucking... Yeah, literally the panel is just Gore was right. And so Gore's whole thing was that gods aren't necessary in the universe because they are vain and terrible, because they act on only their own wishes and don't listen to the cries of humanity. Hmm. And that's why Gore went around trying to kill everyone. So, yeah. So Gore's belief the gods do more harm than good to be true. And that idea, the self-doubt, was enough to make Thor lose his hammer.
I was going
to
say, so Thor lost his hammer because he had an existential crisis.
Well, it was during the whole original Sin thing where, like, wasn't Nick Fury fighting Thor and stuff?
Nick Fury is fighting everyone.
Like, but, I mean, that was the whole point, was just, like, what was the first sin?
Well, no. Yes, to a degree. The whole thing for original Sin was who killed the Watcher. And then Nick Fury started letting out everyone's secrets. Like, that's where we got Silk. There was another spider that bit someone that day. And then you learn that the bomb that was dropped on Bruce Banner was made by Tony Stark. And a bunch of other things. So, yeah, and, you know, we have short-haired, unworthy Thor.
I clicked on your link, and it gave me, like, scrolling down, it gave me an ad for Twits and Crits with that beautiful Lawrence face.
Is it the smug Lawrence face?
Yeah.
Smug Lawrence.
So, yeah, Thor says that gods are vain and vengeful creatures, always have been. The mortals who worshipped us for centuries would all be better off without us. We gods do not deserve their love, no matter how much we fight. To fool ourselves, we are all unworthy.
We're all unworthy now.
So, I mean, a lot of people are like, that's it? Three words? And I'm like, well...
It makes sense.
Yeah, you have to look at the context of the entire overarching story of Jason Aaron's Thor. And I would love to have just like an omnibus.
Of just every single thing for it.
Yeah, just from starting from original... from God Butcher all the way through Original Sin to now would be like the most entertaining single sitting 500 page read, because a lot of people jumped on to Unworthy Thor. It's like, oh, he's finally getting about his hammer, and they never read God Butcher. So it's like, who the fuck is Gore? Like, you know, Steve Al Gore.
Yes.
And to be honest, Gore was right. Is the most inconvenient truth.
Yeah. In context, yes.
It all comes back around.
Yep. And speaking of coming back around, BioWare? You put BioWare.
I did put BioWare. I did that this morning.
God, I need to play some Mass Effect when I get home.
Yes, so...
I'm going to play Battlefield 1.
I will say, as probably the biggest Mass Effect fan here, it does have its problems. Say that. Shut up.
I'm only like 5 hours in.
I'm like 15 in. Actually, no, closer to 12.
What planet have you gotten to?
I'm still on Eos. I'm about to go to the next system.
Okay, so you're about...
I'm still pretty early.
You're going
on.
Along the trail I did. Where I was
like,
all right, I can finish the main mission. Ooh, side quest.
Yep.
You want me to go back to the Nexus? I'll go back to the
Except
Nexus.
Except I'm at the point where it's like, oh shit, the radiation's still too high in this area. I can't go here yet.
That's why you got your Nomad. And then you just...
No, even that, like the level 3 Nomad, or level 3 radiation on my Nomad just destroys it.
Have you gone to the vault yet?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've waited long enough on Eos.
After the vault happens, most of the planet should be radiation.
Ran into level 3 radiation.
Have you awoken the hive?
I don't think I'm full. The planet isn't fully viable yet.
My vitality was at 80% and I could...
I think I'm at like 68 or something.
I think
I'm not quite there.
Well, yeah, outside of the barriers, you still need the Nomad for like long.
No, that's what I'm talking. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's like certain areas that are like level 3 radiation.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
a constant.
It's like I can go. Oh, really?
Yeah, no matter how long you wait. Like I went back to Eos after doing like two other planets.
So I imagine you get a Nomad upgrade for that. Because it just destroys your shield.
I don't know where level 3 radiation you're getting. Most of it's like level 1 or 2.
I found level 3 radiation.
Did you go to the edge of the world?
I went through a cave. Hmm. And then I found that.
Was there a hermit in the cave?
No, there was no hermit.
What about a tree?
There was some ket.
Was there a hive?
No, there's no hive.
No ogres?
No.
Okay. I liked my comments satisfied me while you two were going back and forth.
Anyway, as I was saying, healthy criticism, it does have issues, but BioWare has come out and said that they are going to support it and they are looking at issues or things to fix one, the animations, two, a lot of the bugs that have occurred. And this is coming from lead designer Ian Fraser. He says, we're looking at patching up lots of issues and want to strongly support the game moving forward, which, you know, is always good. They're not like, ah, here's a shitty game.
I didn't encounter my first, not full game breaking glitch, but I can't finish a mission right now. It's, you find a meteor that crashes down. You have to go and scan it because it's putting off interference.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're scanning it...
You find a baby.
Well, and as you're scanning the meteor, enemies come up and start attacking you. It takes a while to scan it, and I fully scanned it, and I was like, all right, now they're going to disappear, right? It takes you into a talking cutscene while enemies are still attacking you.
Oh, joy.
You can still die when you're having a conversation with your crew. It's like, yeah, no, let's take this back to the ship. And then my character's like, falls, and like,
bleh. Oh, it's like Fallout?
Yeah, it's like game over, and I hit resume. I'm like, all right, scan it again, walk up. You can't scan it again.
Oh, shit.
So it's broken right now.
Well,
it reminds me playing Fallout, and I'm having a conversation with the NPC, and a Deathclaw just walks up and swipes him. That's actually why I stopped playing Fallout 3, was because I could no longer complete the story without talking to that one NPC.
Hmm.
Gotta get your stealth up, bro.
But yeah, I mean, it's
a conversation.
I will be curious to see what they come up with to fix it. Like, I'm starting to notice, like, a lot further into the game, the animations aren't bugging me as much.
Yeah, no, that at first, like, after it became a
noticeable... Those first 2 hours are pretty rough.
Yeah, like, because that's all you have in your mind at that point is, you're like, facial animations, facial animations, facial animations.
Oh, God, I'm looking at it too much.
Yeah, and then that's all you focus on. And then when you get into the story and get into the exploration, you're like, what was bugging me again?
I think the thing that bugs me the most is just how their eyes don't move sometimes. Like, there's some talking scenes where it's like, oh, you're actually, like, moving your face a lot more.
Well, yeah, and the only thing that I've noticed, like, facial animations hurt is human characters.
Yeah.
Other aliens...
All the aliens, for the most part, are fine.
Perfectly flowing.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's human characters that have the issue, but again, that's probably because you know what human emotions look like. So you expect the face to contort to that. Whereas an alien,
the Asari, for the most part, look fine, and then you're pretty much humans with squid heads.
Yeah, but again, it's only the humans that I've noticed, like mouths and that sort of thing. But I think it's because when they did, like, mocap for most of it.
I don't even think they did mocap. I'm pretty sure they didn't do mocap. Because something else that came out this week were a bunch of actual game animators, like, coming out in defense of saying, yeah, most animators, like, they build a system, and this seems like a lot of technical issues that happen, not necessarily the animations.
Well, yeah, and, like, whatever they use to actually move the face, applying that to, like, a...
To 41 hours of dialogue.
Or, like, an alien body. Like, you put that on an Asari or put it on a Krogan, like, it's gonna look fine because it was developed to go with faces like that. Whereas a human, where you're able to tinker with things and move them around, it looks unnatural.
Right.
Or a little more unnatural.
Which is probably why, like, some rider faces look way better than others in certain animations.
Because they got, like, the facial structure just right to where...
It's like, it's similar enough to these characters that it just works better. But,
like, mine, I have a pretty basic rider.
When
you look at, like, I didn't change a lot, positions on a couple things.
I love the way mine looks now. Like, the more that she starts talking and animations, I'm just like, this actually feels fine. Like, I'm okay,
like,
with this.
My rider, I developed, like, the perfect way I wanted him to look. I'm like, yeah, that's the rider I want to save the galaxy with. And when he talks, it looks fine. Like, there's no... I think it's when you start messing with, like, all right, I want the cheekbones to be this way and pull the face out.
Again,
like,
it's a lot of the eye movements that just... They need to move their eyes a little bit more and blink instead of...
But they're from the future. They probably eliminated the need to blink.
Your eyes are just perfectly full of moisture at all times. No,
well, my eyes are like crystals. Like, anytime when we're in the Dark Nexus room, you just see my eyes radiating and my freaking neon blue hair just like in the darkness. I'm like, there's not even a light shining on me and I can see everything fine.
Well, you'll never get lost in a cave from your crew.
Yep.
You run ahead like, where's Ryder? Oh, there's the neon hair.
Right, this is you bobbing up and down from cover.
Also, see too. Oh, his eyes.
Her. But I mean, overall, I'm enjoying the game. It's another Pacific game.
Yeah.
Did you just Tumblr me?
I just Tumblr'd you. Yeah, for my first experience of this, it's like, it's Dragon Age with guns.
It feels like Dragon...
But I have to aim.
It feels like Inquisition in space.
Fun fact, you can get a melee weapon that is a sword.
Yeah, you can get a sword.
Oh, I have the Krogan hammer right now.
I had a Krogan hammer, I got a sword. That is awesome. And I'm like, fuck no, because you actually, like, unsheath the sword to swing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like, you have a... I don't know if it's an actual sheath, or you're just holding it a certain way, but it looks like it grabs it and, like, does full-on samurai slash, and I'm like... Yup.
See, I'm all about biotics, so I love doing the combos. All right, singularity and throw. Boom.
80% of my fights are incinerate and then a biotic ability to set it off. And I switched out my grenade for concussive shots because I got tired of the fucking ammo system for grenades. I was like, yeah, it tracks and it sets off combos too. All right, incinerate, concussive shot.
Yeah, what's weird is I told myself, I'm going to do a Vanguard because they're supposed to be tanky, but it's like, I'm actually enjoying just playing Adept right now. Like, I do love using all my biotics in combo.
I think I have the Vanguard profile
unlocked. I have the Vanguard profile unlocked. I just haven't used it.
I
use a gun.
I have a shotgun. I like it better because it charges my incinerate faster and it does a lot for the weapons.
Cool.
Hey.
Oh. So, yeah. Here's hoping, like, in like a month or so, they'll have a fairly decent patch to fix a lot of things.
But yeah. That's good. I mean, that's going to take me that long to freaking play the game because I'm so busy with life.
Have a goddamn week. Take that time to play the game.
What if I want to play other games?
You're on spring break. You play Mass Effect.
I was going to play Horizon Zero Dawn.
That's okay.
Play Horizon Zero Dawn. Mass Effect's good, but...
Yeah, I was going to play
Horizon. For someone who's not a Mass Effect fan, Horizon Zero Dawn would be a better choice because it's... an enclosed story, and I can go on for hours about it because it's beautiful.
I'm playing
and I love it.
Mass Effect, and then I'm still trying to finish up Halo Wars 2. I'm also playing World of Final Fantasy on my PS4 still because I just wanted to play a straight up JRPG for a while.
Did you get the Sora badge?
Not yet.
Gotta get that Sora badge. Yo, it's free.
My favorite thing though about like this latest update is like you can now press circle to skip the badge animations, but we don't know why you do that because all these people spent countless hours and you're just an asshole. Or something along those lines.
Well, probably because after notes. The 500th time I've seen Tidus kick a blitz ball into someone's face, I just want to get on with the damage.
Yeah. Hey, really cool.
Although, if they added that kind of ability to the Knights of the Round in Final Fantasy VII, would have saved my life so much time.
Really cool thing I just saw on Twitter. Alan Knight from Tumblr asks Brian Michael Bendis, do you miss Jessica Drew? Or Ultimate Jessica Drew? I do a lot. What character from the Ultimate Spider-Man cast do you miss the most? And Bendis replies, I do miss her. I miss all of them and probably May Parker the most. But I thought Ultimate Jessica had some true untapped potential. I know a lot of people did. I did try to bring her over during the Hickmaning. The Hickmaning.
The Hickening.
It's the Hickmaning. Yeah. So the Secret Wars. But there were so many Spider-Women in 616 that I couldn't argue my way to another one, but I did try. And you know... It's not like two of those series just got canceled. Ultimate Jessica Drew, come back, please.
Baby, come back.
We need Jessica dating Kitty Pryde.
Ultimate Kitty Pryde?
Yeah, that was the thing. Like no. She had a thing with Laura Bombshell. Ah, she and Bombshell kind of flirted with each other a lot, and then Kitty was kind of off to the side chilling.
But yeah, and Ben just likes Bombshell a lot.
I love Bombshell. Any Hoozles. Yeah.
I like her and Miles.
That's my one thing.
They have fun interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, no. It was her and Gank.
Yeah.
Gonky. Gank. I never know how to say his name.
He's keeping some beat upstairs.
I think that's a washing machine.
Keeping beat.
Okay. All right. And now for the moment we've all been waiting for. The motherfucking Power Rangers.
It's happening.
It happened.
No, it's happening that Zach is going to be part of a Power Rangers discussion and not be dead inside the whole time.
Should we start with me? I'm sure everybody, from listening to many weeks of this podcast, wants to know what did I think of being taken
away. Anyone Zach texted afterwards was like, but what did Zach think about it?
Well,
that's what everybody wants to know.
I was talking to Tim, and we were like, yeah, we just got out of the Power Rangers. And it's like, oh, that was awesome. I'm like, yeah, everyone liked it. But how did Zach like it? And I'm like, he said it was good, but what did he really think?
Yeah, and then he said yes, woman, and then you sent a picture of a girl with a wedding ring. And Zach's like, what is that picture for? And you, me, and Adam simultaneously, like, he said yes!
I'm pretty sure the people around us hated us at dinner.
Probably. I mean, it was so freaking loud.
I guarantee you that waitress's family hated Adam and I because we kept photobombing all of their pictures.
By accident. But,
well, the first two were by accident. Future photos were on purpose. Because then I was like, I can't let them down. They expect you much of me.
I can't fail this city.
They're going to Photoshop you out.
They're going to Photoshop
you out. So, Zach,
all of the pictures.
The Power Rangers. Breakfast Club meets the 90s.
I will say, I did enjoy it.
Woo! God.
It was the first...
Sorry, upstairs people.
The first two...
I like how I turned people. All the way around.
Yeah.
Away
from the first two acts of it, I thought was actually pretty well done. Like, there was some really good characterization in there. Like, they made me care about some of them. Like, I wanted to care about Billy. Like, Billy was
great.
Everyone
cares about Billy. He is a precious cinnamon roll.
Who loves country music?
Like, they actually made me care about them. Like, I actually liked Jason. I liked Kimberly. Billy was great. The other two, I'm like, okay, they probably could use more time. Cause...
Zach and his dying mom. By the way, this is going to be a probably heavy spoiler-filled discussion.
Yes.
Area.
We're going to go general first and then move into discussions or spoilers as we go down.
And Trini, she's normal and...
She doesn't want to be normal.
But she doesn't like labels, man.
I like Trini.
Trini was pretty cool.
Like, you know, you talking about... They literally fit the Breakfast Club stereotype.
Yeah.
You have daddy issues, athletic dude, lovable smart kid with initial difficulties, standing up for himself, popular pretty girl with social issues with social circles, crazy girl initially likes the idea of being outcast, struggles with identity, and break most of the rules scoundrel guy who underneath it is just afraid of life.
And you also have at the very end they do a Breakfast Club breakdown.
Yeah.
Like straight up, all of them are in the same area, like cheering while there's narration, and then it ends with like the freeze frame. Yeah.
Well, it's like when we were walking
don't you
to Hot Topic, they had the original Rangers pose in the Breakfast Club movie poster pose on a t-shirt. And I'm like, holy shit, it's real.
So the first two acts, the third act was like, I was like, okay, this is purely like for the fans. This is purely Power Rangers.
Make my monsters grow.
There were so many times in that movie where I was like, yeah!
I was on my checklist of things whether or not this would be a good movie for fans.
I was pretty happy that they did play the freaking 1995 theme song, the symphonic one.
Yeah, from the original movie.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, they had to have done that at least freaking once. I just wish it was like more than like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
it would have been cool if
they
like weeded that into the actual fighting.
So you've never seen an episode of Power Rangers. But
like a full episode.
No.
Original like three seasons, anytime they had the Zords come out and they do the whole running sequence, that's when they play the theme song.
Okay.
They would do like the whole go go Power Rangers and it would just be them running with the Zords. And then they would go into the other verses if they started transforming into the Megazord.
Yeah, if they would go tank mode and then they would stand up and go full Megazord.
Yeah.
No tank mode though.
Yeah. I mean
they
all tank mode essentially.
Yeah. As just like a movie, I thought it was fine.
As a superhero movie, what do you think?
I don't know if I want to classify it as a superhero movie. Like,
but they are.
But if it's all the tropes,
kind of,
they're like Iron Man or Spider Man.
Yeah, when you break down the superhero movie, they fit every single trope in Power Rangers.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, that's better. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you again, but that's better than the genre classification of a comic book movie.
True. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay as a superhero movie. Yeah, the last fight was pretty anticlimactic. I was just like, oh, okay, so we're done.
But they suplexed his ass.
You remember the pit? I remember the pit.
I don't like the pit.
Steve? General?
You already know how I fucking feel about it. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of sitting next to Steve. And
it was pretty fun to watch you guys like freak out at certain things. You're like, ah!
Like, I was just hitting Zach as a joke, and I'm like, Zach, she said the thing, and you just gave me this blank stare.
I was like, what? What thing?
Well, and you didn't even, like, you didn't know because you watched the movie, but when she said, make my monster grow, I slowly leaned over, and I was like, eh? Because I saw Zach freaking out, I was like, you know. And then Alpha. The second
Billy Hader surprised me. I loved Alpha more than I thought I would.
I grew to like the design of him, too. Like, the first time they released the concept art, I was like, no, that's not my alpha. But after going on, it's like,
not my alpha.
Like, you're all right. And Alpha was a fucking savage.
Well, it's so funny because he, like, knows all of Earth culture, probably because he's been buried and he probably intercepts signals because he's a robot. But, like, they made use, like, the original 1995 show, he had, like, two arms. But now his two arms extend and he can fight with
like,
them.
Like, full-on extendo arms.
I'm also kind of surprised of some of the humor they threw in there. I was like, whoa, okay.
They said shit.
Twice.
Yeah.
PG-13 movie.
I mean, they're children. Freaking, oh God, when Alpha meets them. Teenagers with different colors. Yeah, like, different colored
like,
kids.
Is this related to the coins? Like, yes, the coins with teenagers. Different colored coins for different colored teenagers. Like, whoa, Alpha. Whoa.
I lost my shit.
I mean, it even opens laughing. With a freaking jack-off joke. With the cow.
Oh yeah.
I was just like, what the hell?
And like, he actually goes down and puts the flashlight on the cow dick, and I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, cows don't have one on it.
And Rita straight up murders people.
Well, it goes back to that thing. It's like, how many people do you think die in Power Rangers, like, everyday battles? And we...
A lot. They fucked that city up.
Yeah, they actually address the issue like, yeah, people go and die in this robot fight.
I had a list of things that whether or not this would be a good movie. If they said Morphin Time, Make My Monsters Grow, and if, it was Morphin Time, Make My Monsters Grow, and like, if they would reference themselves as Power Rangers, like, just jokingly. But like, holy crap, that movie has some like serious hardcore visual aesthetic appeal to it though.
You can tell where they funneled the budget into and where they didn't.
Yeah, it's like when they did the whole Rangers out of their mask thing, you can kind of see like the parts where they clipped the CGI.
Well, but I don't even think it was CGI. I'm pretty sure it was like mostly...
There's some practical stuff.
I thought they had like full suits.
Yeah. But like visual aesthetic-wise, you know, Goldar being a multi-glob of glue was played off really well.
It's good, but again, I miss the flying monkey and the golden armor. With the gravelly voice, Rangers.
But like, the more that movie kept going, the more I grew to like it. Like, I hated the costumes. I'm like, they look like Iron Man ripoffs. And I'm like, okay, these Power Ranger costumes are kind of cool.
Well, like, yeah, when you first see the picture, I'm like, all right, whatever. They're just generic suits of armor. But then when you actually see the practical use of them, like the middle chess piece, where it's like, yeah, no, it looks like you're looking into a universe right there.
I thought it would have been... It's the Morphe. I kind of wish they did have, like, a hand-to-hand combat with Rita in the suits. Because, I mean, we see that before where they try to take her on without the suits and they get just destroyed. It would have been kind of interesting to actually, like, see her get taken down there and right. Then bring Goldar
One of the curious... Together. Should and we then just they say we're, Zords? And also, before we move straight spoilers, I'm going to say that I really enjoyed the movie about how diverse it was and not just for straight up diversity's sake. Like, oh, we're not going to play the tropes up. The Asian one is yellow and the black one's black. And like, you know, The joke is like, I'm black. No, you're not.
Well, like, I'm so glad they handled everyone's stories the way they did.
Yeah.
Because I was so nervous going, it's like, I really hope it's not just like, we're going to take the angst to full-on edgy levels.
Well, they're teenagers with attitude.
Exactly. And they handled that perfectly. It's like they all have their quirks and their downfalls.
Yeah.
But they're just normal kids who are thrust in this situation instead of like, man, I'm going to be an angsty, attitude-filled teen. It's like,
yeah,
no, they have issues. They realize their issues.
And that's how they grow from the issues.
With them. And then they're thrust in the situation where it's like, now I know how to deal with my issues because I have friends who can help me with them.
Yeah.
I also happen to have a suit of armor and a giant talking head mentor.
Yeah, and like Billy, like I didn't know he was supposed to be on the spectrum before going into the movie. And he just straight up says, I'm on the spectrum. Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
I saw that at like the last minute before going in, like I was looking through Yahoo articles and it's like Power Rangers introduced a character who's on the spectrum and who's also a hero. I'm like, that's got to be Billy, but that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and like they play it off really well. Like, he even goes in depth to the explanations. Like, I don't get things that some people like humor doesn't process. And I'm like,
I mean, but they even tried to make it like a lighthearted thing where Jason's like, is that kind of like, is that like a new fad diet or something?
Yeah, and then when he's like going through
all these things. He's like, on the spectrum. He's like, no, I understand. I get it.
Yeah, and when he's explaining it and he's like, look, you don't need to explain it to me. I understand. Mm-hmm. I get it. That's cool.
The only thing I wish they would have done more was, and actually I know because of this one thing with Trinity possibly being lesbian or bi, in some countries, the movie's been bumped up to 18+. Because of this one scene. But, you know, it's just kind of like a throwaway line. Oh, boyfriend problems? Like, yeah, sure. Girlfriend problems? And it's like,
and, yeah, like dead silence. And even Billy's reaction is like, okay.
But it's like really, you know, Billy's reaction is like most people's now. It's like, oh, okay, whatever, cool. I had one student at my school walking around with a book. It's, you know, bright neon rainbow called This Book Is Gay, and I go up to talk to her. I'm like, hey, what's your book about? And she's like, she was too embarrassed to talk to me about it. I was like, look, I don't care. And she's like, what? And it's like, look, you know, it's a whole thing. I understand. If you don't feel comfortable talking about it, that's fine. You can go on with your life. I'll look up the book on Amazon. And then she like puts a note on my desk later on in the day that tells me what the book is about. But it's like, you know, the director has to come out and say, yeah, Trini's definitely gay. And it's like, well, why can't we include that a little bit in the movie? But I'm sitting there. The majority of the audience is adults who all saw the 95 movie or watched the TV show as a kid. And then there's the few kids there like that are like, what does that mean? Or something.
Yeah. Along and lines. I appreciate the way they handled like on the spectrum and girlfriend problems. Like,
they don't make it.
Yeah. They don't make it a big deal.
It's not a thing. It's not their only character trait.
They're breaking away from the stigmata that is having autism or being bisexual.
Well, I mean, lesbian. They even showed like, Billy using that to a positive thing of like, he's like, I can remember so many things. Yeah. And then you see his giant,
Pepe Sylvia
board.
Well, and that thing is like, yeah, he's autistic, but he's also a genius. Mm-hmm. Just because you're on the spectrum of autism doesn't mean
and that's what's
you go to this
so
stereotype.
Cool about it, because these kids that are going to eventually go see the movie have things to look up to. And it's like, oh, he's like me. Or even with Trini, who's like, yeah, I like girls, whatever. Some girls or even boys that are in the audience is like, oh, I have someone I can identify with. I know what this girl is going through.
Like, because it doesn't have to be this big thing, because they're not like, all right, Billy just mentioned he's in the spectrum. Now shove it in the face. Like, look, we have an autistic character who's still
now pee in this cup.
Yeah, and then there's Trini, whose girlfriend problems. Like, all right, now the movie's going to be like, look, we have a lesbian. It's like, no, it's just, they mentioned it, and that's cool.
She doesn't know
how
to
explain it. She doesn't know how to explain it to her normal family, who likes to put labels on things. And that's why they don't come out and say, like, Trini doesn't come out and say, yeah, I'm bisexual, or yeah, I'm lesbian, because she doesn't like labels. As soon as they said girlfriend issues, they made a point to mention that her family likes to label things, and that's why she doesn't connect with them.
And you know she's totally going to be banging Kimberly in the next movie.
Absolutely.
The cheesecake moment. I mean, come on. So much tension.
The donut
I'm
bite.
Kidding.
That donut bite.
That was such a cool scene. Like,
yeah.
That was so entertaining.
Like them doing the whole... It's
they're forking.
It's like the scene in Kung Fu Panda where like they have the last dumpling and they're like chopstick fighting over it.
Yeah.
But taken to like a fun degree where it's like, yeah,
it's like, hey,
they're learning,
it's like,
they're becoming friends.
Yeah, it's a bonding moment, and it's just like, oh yeah, we have these abilities that we can dick around with sometimes.
Well, I was like, yeah, look, the pit's working. We're actually becoming good fighters, but we're also becoming friends.
Are we friends or are we rangers? Why not both?
Porque no los dos.
Yeah, and that's really cool. It's like, you know, Trini, you know, there's so many tiny little homages in that movie that you don't pick up on unless you're like a hardcore fan, like Trini wearing the 1973 shirt. Oh, that's when the original person who played Trini was born. Huh. Or like at the end of the movie when it's like, why not be the Yellow Ranger? It's like, yeah, he's so cool. Oh, in the Zoo Ranger, the Yellow Ranger was actually a guy. And then in the American version, it was Trini.
Huh.
So it's like tiny little things. Also, Dino Thunder reference, because he said he's at Reefside and Mariner Bay.
Okay, I try to remember what the second street was, but I caught Mariner Bay. I'm like, when we walked out of the theater, I was like, did you catch the Lightspeed Rescue reference? It's like, Mariner Bay Street. That's where Lightspeed Rescue took it. I'm a nerd. I know.
Yeah, and, you know, this guy who's directing the film has done so many, or who wrote the screenplay. He wrote Flight in 2012.
Didn't he write the Almanac Project too, or something?
That was the director.
Okay.
The guy who wrote the screenplay wrote Flight. He did Real Steel. He did Kong Skull Island.
Oh, huh.
A lot of these movies have been like super hyped as of late.
I mean, it's doing pretty well so far. It's in the made, box like, office. Yeah, it's 40 awesome. Million plus.
Like, yeah, it was
and then Dean Israelite, the director, directed Project Now Almanac.
Okay.
It was kind of disconcerting seeing the theater kind of pretty empty when we were there. But then I also realized at the exact same time there's a Beauty and the Beast showing that a lot of people are probably going to.
And that movie's been out for 5 days at that point. Yeah. It opened on a Wednesday. But, all right, so at this point, we're going to dive into spoilers. If you want to keep listening, go spoiler, for it. But
it's not a big, not a hugely spoiler.
Now we're going to go into the heavy things. So, like, for example, when they're on Zordon's ship in the morphing grid, how come there were only 5 spots, but Rita was the 6th, the Green Ranger? Was it that she never felt a bond with any of her teammates, and that's why she went evil on them? And at the beginning of the movie, when we see that spaceship fly through the air, is that Alpha in the crashed spaceship, or is that Serpentera? And then Rita betrayed the Rangers to the Zed.
I mean,
he did drop the meteors on him.
Yeah, Zordon called Alpha, like, drop it on my coordinates, so he had to be close by to be able to drop it that quickly.
Yeah, and you know, poor Rita to that degree doesn't know what it's like to have friends. She has Goldar.
Yeah. Rangers.
So a lot of people are thinking, like, Goldar was at one point a real thing. And when Goldar dies, you know, his spirit probably shoved into, like, the morphing grid or something. And when Rita resurrects Goldar, she shoves his spirit back into, like, all the gold goop. And that's why Goldar, you know, picks Rita up, holds her, fuses with her. But it's really interesting, and you know, the whole green, I'm glad that the fan theories panned out. Like, when Elizabeth Banks first showed up in her Rita Repulsa costume, people are like, that's not hashtag not my Rita, she doesn't have the horns for hair. And people are like, was that a Ranger coin? And then that's when everyone went wild, and it's like, oh. And we even see her, she can't morph properly anymore because she doesn't have that bond to anyone because that team is dead. So we see her like half morph in front of Trini and then turn to gold. So it was really interesting to see that. And you're right, like, you know, the final battle with her being bitch slapped into the air. Yeah. It's a cool callback to the beginning of the movie. Yeah. But at the same time, after the first season of Power Rangers, Rita was exiled to the moon by Lord Zedd. So people are speculating, okay, Rita's going to be put on the back burner until like the third movie, if this 6 movie trilogy is really a thing, and Lord Zedd's going to come down for the second movie and act as the antagonist.
Huh. I mean, she did references like, you think you've won, there's more that will come.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to see Zedd or Bryan Cranston's character from the original Power Rangers come back.
Oh my God.
So Bryan Cranston voiced 2 of the monsters in the original series, and he was the inspiration behind Billy's name.
Right.
Billy Cranston.
Yeah. And it's cool because Bryan Cranston said, it's like, you know, the reason I took this role is because I want more sci-fi roles under my belts. Not necessarily he was a fan of Power Rangers, which was interesting enough.
I thought he did a fine job, though.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I dug it. What are you looking at, Steve?
Easter eggs.
Okay.
Like, there's a list of, like, 10 Easter eggs, which there was a Jungle Fury reference in the movie also.
Did never watch Jungle Fury.
Favorite season.
Sorry.
The one of the street names is also Ocean Bluff, which is the Jungle Fury setting.
But yeah, again, as someone who loves Power Rangers, this movie was amazing. It exceeded my expectations because, again, I was like, this movie's gonna fucking suck, or I really hope this was gonna be good.
Yeah, it actually seems like the creators actually cared about it.
Like, yeah, they wanted a new audience to come in and then also service for the fans. Be like, we know there's a huge adult following for Power Rangers because it was so influential in your childhood, so we want to do right by you guys too while being able to bring in a new generic audience.
Yeah. And I don't know how much of a generic audience is gonna bring in. As someone who's not a fan of Power Rangers, I thought it was just okay. Like, I liked the characterization, I liked pieces of it, but when it went full on Power Rangers, like camp, I was like, okay, I don't know if I really, I can enjoy some of the campiness of it, but I'm just like, this just feels way out of what the rest of what I watched and what the pieces I liked was.
Right. So Steve looks like he wants to say something.
I was thinking he's for trying a second. Trying to gather his thoughts.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the camp, I enjoyed some of those moments, like, you know, Billy making the Zora dance at the end, or, like, you know, that final thing. It did have, like, kind of the pitfall. It's like the third act seemed a little rushed. I would have liked
they ran
to
out of
see
money.
Them morph before the final fight, like, just... They're doing it, and then something happens. They all pit falter and lose their ability or whatever, and then that's when they have to have, like, the friendship speech of truth.
You did call the one thing of...
Oh, yeah.
Someone's going to die, and that's what's going to bring them together.
The theater, you're like, one of the rangers is going to die. It's going to bring them all together, but they're going to bring that ranger back. Of course, it fucking happens.
I don't like being wrong. I'll be wrong. The next movie we'll all go see together, I'll be wrong. I promise.
Mm,
the next
movie I don't we'll know. Go see. Spider-Man. Guardians. Next ones that comes up.
Yeah. But it was really cool. Stand By Me broke me, though. Because I'm every time I hear that song, I just have flashbacks to Final Fantasy 15 still. And even though, like, Bootstrap did that version, I'm like, oh, God, Gladio.
No.
Ignis. Prompt of no. Noctis.
The only thing, like, the one negative I have with it is... Rita. They couldn't decide on what her character should be.
Like, she, the insane megalomaniac.
Yeah, she went from campy to deathly serious, back to campy, and then kind of a mixture in the end.
But the Krispy Kreme.
The Krispy Kreme thing was pretty funny.
The Krispy Kreme one was fucking fantastic, but...
It must be a glorious place.
A place of great importance. And then she's listening to... Destiny's Child Survivor trying a donut.
Yeah.
And then Goldar's fist crashes down. It's like, yeah, I guess someone who sees a Krispy Kreme for the first time would want to try it. But then again, you have the source of all life on Earth buried under a Krispy Kreme.
But at the same time, they made Rita like a legitimate villain. In like the original Power Rangers series, you know, she's just the side player who makes your monsters grow. You know, but in this, they actually made her... Like, I was cheering for Rita at a certain point. I mean, I'm like, holy shit, she's actually frightening.
She's going to kill someone.
The bedroom scene with Trini was like, oh, God, she's actually a menace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's the whole thing, like, a lot of people are like, well, why don't they just use the Zords and stomp on her? Rule number one, do not escalate this situation unless you have to. And that was actually a line taken from the original Zordon first season.
Zordon's speech was word for word what Zordon told the Rangers in the very first episode. It's like, do not use your powers for personal means, don't escalate a situation, and never reveal you're a Power Ranger. You have to keep your identity
secret. Though Jason's dad is like, that's totally Jason.
Yeah.
Well, and I love how the article he puts up just has Trini on it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, Power Rangers, picture of Trini. All right, I guess it had to be like a full-size picture, and he clipped it down for saving's sake.
It was an action shot.
But at the same time, it's like...
Jason's totally the Yellow Ranger. I know it.
Look at the boobs on that suit. That's got to be Jason.
But it's like, if they really wanted to hype up the camp, they would have introduced like Bulk and Skull and like some of the Ernie and...
I was waiting for like the bully to be like, oh, that's Skullovich. I'm like, Skull?
Well, at the same time, I was like expecting the guy... to be like the detention leader or the detention teacher. I was trying to figure out whether or not he was Skull, and I was sitting or Bulk, and I'm sitting there staring at him like, that's not him though. No, they would have hyped up his cameo.
It would have made it a big deal.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out who the detention guy was. Like, he seems like they're trying to focus on him a little too much. So he's got to be someone important, but...
Yeah. And some other really cool things. There's the mid-credit sequence where they call out for Tommy Oliver, and there's a green jacket.
And all the cast is really pushing for that to be a female
Green Ranger. Yeah, that's really cool. And it's like, oh...
They could still do Tommy. Yeah. T-O-M-M-I.
Or like I said...
Tammy.
Or, yeah. The
But they already said Tommy.
Well, yeah, but the tension guy could be like, oh, wait, my mistake. It's actually Tammy Oliver. Or it could have been a typo on his list.
Tamisha. But it's really, you know, for not doing it for the sake of diversity, but if we have, a lot of people are speculating, oh, if they have another ranger, it should be like a Native American person.
I mean, kind
of
cool.
And, you know, that's why they bond. They literally do have a spirit animal at that point.
Their spirit animal is the Dragonzord.
And some of the other cool things that were pointed out, it's like, you know, when the Zords come down, they take DNA from like the strongest predators or whatever on the world, and you have them turn into the T-Rex, the Mastodon, Triceratops, and whatnot.
Saber-toothed tiger.
And people are like, well, they're not all around at the same time, in the same time period. Well, you know, fuck off. Yeah. But so when the Zords probably got destroyed too during the meteor blast, Alpha's probably the one rebuilding them, and that's why we have the six-legged Triceratops or the eight-legged Mastodon.
And he's like, these are what creatures from my world look like, so.
Yeah.
Eight legs.
And it is confirmed Zordon's from Eltar. I thought it was, yeah. So the Eltarians kind of. Eltarians.
Kinda, although yeah. I do agree they do kind of look like the Aquatarians.
Or at least the Yellow Ranger did.
There we go.
Yeah. So maybe.
You're losing me now.
So maybe
it's the Alien Rangers.
Maybe they'll make that a point of like, they're in the same universe, so. We got an Aquatarian.
Yeah, and they do focus on the Zeo crystal, you know, the crystal that brings all life. Zeo is the fourth season of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Technically second iteration, but fourth season.
Yeah. So a lot of people are like, well, they're probably going to get new suits. And it, one of the guys from Kinda Funny, I was listening to their review because Tim, the pure one, Tim Geddes, is a big fan of Power Rangers. Like, he was really hyped up, and it's like, well, you know, you want to say you want to have them spend more time, but it's like a power level thing, like Super Saiyan style. Like, you have to see them in their human form, get the shit beat out of them, and then they can go to Super Saiyan. Mm-hmm. But if they go Super Saiyan too soon, where do they go next? Right. And it's kind of like Power Rangers logic, because every ranger has a next step up. It's like battle armor mode, battleizer, super wild force mode, or some shit like that.
There's always the battleizer.
There's always the Battleizer.
But they change the name of the Battleizer here and there.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they're going to try and introduce the other Megazords in the alien version. Like the weird alien robotic version that they made with the new Zords. It's mm-hmm. interesting to see how they reimagine like the Dragon Zord and
the Shogun Zord.
Yeah, not the Dragon Zord, but the Red Thunder Dragon and the Unicorn and the Pegasus. Or not Pegasus. Unicorn.
It was the Pegasus.
No, it was Unicorn and Griffin. The blue and yellow Zords were supposed to
we
be
lost Zach.
Supposed to be yeah. Unicorn and Griffin, but they were like weird little like giraffe things.
Spiritcorns from Final Fantasy.
Pretty much. Actually, no, not even Spiritcorns. They were like roller skates with weird bobby horse heads on them.
They were the Shogun Zords, right?
No, they were the Thunder Zords. Oh. Shogun Zords were like the people-shaped ones.
Oh, but, yeah.
Which was
you're right.
What I was saying is like that could be a way to get the Shogun Zords is like they took on the form of the most powerful thing on Earth.
Humans. I forgot so Rita Repulse is a thing.
Can I ask something of both of you? Yes. Now that the movie has finally come out, we've all seen it. Mm-hmm. Can we fucking stop talking about Power Rangers for a little while, please?
I'm watching Super Sentai right now.
God damn it.
The Firebird. The Lion.
Yep.
The tiger.
They essentially went with Chinese mythological creatures because yeah. It's from Die Ranger, and that was their whole shtick. Was Chinese like a tortoise mythology. One. Tor. The Shuttle Zord.
The Power Rangers Twitch marathon still going on for like another 12 hours. Yeah, like,
is it still not done?
No, dude. There's like 843 episodes.
Yeah, they were on Samurai yesterday, so I'm assuming they're on Dino Charge right now. And they have like 7 episodes of Ninja Steel to show.
I was watching Mega Force.
Right. I forgot about Mega Force came after Samurai.
It was just normal Mega Force, not Super Mega Force, okay, where so they had the Gokaiger change. Gokaiger. You should actually watch Gokaiger. It's a little campy, and there's subtitles you have to read, but it's actually super entertaining.
I got Always Sunny to keep going on. I'm almost at the perennial season.
That Zach is like, he said he was the Red Ranger, and he has the red mic.
Oh my god.
But wait.
Yeah.
I have the yellow bike.
I have the orange bike. There was never an orange ranger.
But there was Boom.
Yeah, when he was hallucinating.
And then there's the Sasori Ranger in Super Sentai right now. And then there was Rhino Ranger in Jungle Fury. He was kind of white and orange.
I think there's one in Ninja Steel, too, because there's 9 Rangers.
No, there's only... Actually,
there's 6 right now.
Six, but...
There's a green and a purple, I think. That'll show up.
Just a green and then...
There's totally a purple in the Super
different
Sentai.
Iteration of... Well, yeah, there's purple in Dino Charge. Or Kiryuger.
Hey, Zach. How do you feel about Galvanax's takeover of the universe?
Kill them all.
What do you feel about the Gold Ranger being a country star? Because, yes, that is how they kind of bridge the gap to the Gold Ranger and Ninja Steel, who have the cowboy hat helmet and the burger morpher and the guitar gun sword. They made him a country star.
Wasn't he supposed to be, like, everything American?
Yeah, because back when there was, like, ninjas in Japan, he was supposed to be, like, the Americanized guy who came over and be like, I'm a ranger too, hamburger morpher.
God damn.
So there's the green one. Trying to figure out there.
But in this one, since they're already in America, they're like, all right, he's got a cowboy hat and a guitar gun. Country music star. Yeah!
God.
But to make it more relatable for the kiddos, they made him like bro country star. He's like Lil Tim McGraw. So he's got like a super tight shirt on, cowboy hat. He's got piercings.
There's a contest to see who's biggest fan, and two people cosplayed as metal fans.
Yeah. Like, biggest fan.
Power Rangers. God. Anyways, we can chill now.
And are we done?
We could do review or recommendations. Yeah, look, there's three Red Rangers.
Oh, my God, enough.
Well, this is just our personal time talk now.
So, Zach, what would you later. Recommend?
I mean, you don't necessarily need to watch in theaters. It's still a pretty decent movie, though, overall.
I thought we were moving on to book recommendations.
Oh, I thought you were just talking
about
overall.
We were moving on just for you.
We were cutting the power shock because you were losing your
soul in your
eyes.
Oh, what? You did something for me? That's so kind of you.
We forced you to go see the movie, so we peer pressured you into it.
It wasn't a bad. It wasn't bad. It was all right.
It was a good.
It was a good.
Well, like a fucking amazing.
For fans,
wait,
I'm sure.
Actually, before we move on, bonus points for Alpha saying I.
Twice.
But
the first one, nobody really.
I only count the first one because that was in true Alpha fashion.
The second one, you mean?
Not the depressed I.
That's the one where everyone laughed.
Yeah, everyone laughed, but no one caught the first one when he was freaking out and be like, oh, it's turning on. I. And I'm like, yeah! Alpha. All right, now I'm done.
Okay.
So book recommendations.
I'm going to go with Detective Comics again because it's still awesome. More Cass in my life. I love it. Sweet baby Cass. Everybody's getting wrecked by Lady Shiva, and now Ra's al Ghul has been thrown into the fray of this. Which is kind of interesting because I thought Shiva pretty much smacked down Ra's earlier on, but guess not. They're working together, taking down Batman.
It was all a plan.
Yep. The Train Ranger was
literally gone. Everybody's been captured now except Batman, and Batman's like freaking out as he does. Cass is still having mother issues, which is that's probably been my favorite part of this story, just because it's developing Cass so much as a character. And if we don't somehow get a Cass solo series from this, I'd be kind of surprised.
Cass Def team up?
Yeah, just something with Cass like as the lead. Because this whole, like, I just want more of Cass's story now. Because even Shiva finally explains like why Cass doesn't speak. It's like, oh, he taught you to read bodies as your first language. I'm like, holy crap, that makes so much more sense now.
Yeah. They explained that in Batman and Robin Eternal.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, like, I don't remember.
That he raised her more as a weapon and all the other education fell to the wayside.
Right, but they never specifically stated that.
Yeah.
Body language is what she understands more than just words.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. But yeah, Detective Comics still on that train. Choo-choo.
Steve? I'm going to go with Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns this week. So we're in their Quest for Hope arc right now, where Hal and Kyle went to go find Saint Walker, leader of the Blue Lanterns. And I must have skipped an issue because what I was reading is like, this doesn't totally make sense, but I'm still going to go with it. So Kyle goes and meets up with Saint Walker on like the Guardian's pedestal. And it looks like they're starting to have like a universe-wide resurrection, where they're combining the powers of the White Lantern and Hope to go across the galaxy to resurrect dead life. But something goes awry. And you don't know who it is, but the Guardians are like, wait, something's wrong. Or no, Saint Walker is like, wait, something's wrong. Someone's trespassing in our connection. And then it breaks. And then Kyle loses all of the lantern rings except the green. The white lantern ring is split into multiple rings, and they all fly to find new hosts.
Hmm.
And Kyle puts on his green lantern ring. He's like, I'm back.
And it's his OG costume with the doofy mask.
Hey, doofy mask.
And I don't know if it's going to lead to him trying to collect the rings back, because I saw an advertisement in another book for like the next arc, and it has him drawn in his white lantern outfit. So I don't know if they're going to go on a, like a bro trip across the universe to get all the rings back. But well, and it, like while it's splitting apart, like everyone who's like interacted with a lantern ring is sensing it, apparently. Because so it shows Atrocitus, and he's freaking out.
He's vomiting blood, yeah, as always.
And then it shows Flash, and like the blue lantern symbol shows up on it. It's just like, what the fuck's going on? And I can't remember who the third one was that they showed. But it, like, it shows people who had interactions with rings feeling the effect of the white lantern ring being broken. Hmm. It's like, is this going to be like everyone's going to feel an effect from it? Or is it just going to be like, Kyle's a green lantern, but he's like, I want to get my white lantern powers back.
One of the cool things, too, is that I saw that picture, and Oz is just watching, saying this is an interesting development.
That's who the third person was. So it showed Atrocitus vomiting blood, the Flash with the blue lantern symbol like popping up on him, and then Oz being going like, huh, neat.
Oz is the Nick Fury of DC right now.
I didn't expect this development.
Hmm.
He didn't. Let's see how this plays out.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy stuff, man. Yeah,
and then Kyle, like, one of the best lines is Kyle in his OG outfit, and he's like, it's good to be back. And I just wanted to, like, put on sunglasses and play the CSI Miami theme in the background.
He just
like,
takes off his visor. Have fun editing that part.
Oh, no, that's
wasn't even me this time. Yeah. For me, I didn't read anything. I literally picked up my comics yesterday, and I hung out with you guys for most of the day. I do recommend
Teen Titans. Aqualad's back.
Calder. I do recommend people go watch Power Rangers movie. Not necessarily a theater thing, but it is quite entertaining. Also, go check out Beauty and the Beast in theaters. Soundtrack is phenomenal.
The best.
Josh Gad is LeFou. He's pretty rocking.
Kayla was not the biggest fan.
Kayla just said it like it the new revised things were good, and it was Beauty and the Beast. Like, literally, it didn't need to be made.
What? Because but now Disney is literally going to make every single one of their animated films live action.
Little Mermaid should come out this year, I think.
Lion King's next year?
Lion King. So. Next year, the year after, and Mulan. Mulan,
which they're like, everyone's freaking out because they're like,
no songs.
Yeah, like, well, we're not going to have any songs.
But you must
and be now Smith they've, as a course. But now they've said it's like, okay, maybe we will have some songs.
Yeah, they better because we need to get down to business to defeat the Huns.
Mulan is arguably one of the best soundtracks.
Like, if they
fight me.
If they like just make Mulan a serious movie, I think they're missing the point.
Yeah.
Let's get down to business.
They're also apparently trying to get rid of the whole bisexual thing with, what's his name? I'm spacing. The commander.
Shen?
Yeah. With how he was confused the whole time. He's
look
with
at that
Mulan.
Ass.
Dead ass. Wait, am I gay?
Oh, thank God.
Oh, you're a woman.
Woo! Wait a minute.
I can see why that's problematic.
Yeah.
But make him interested. Anyway,
yeah, I mean, they did it with the Gaston, with not Gaston, but
LeFou,
yeah. Like, I don't see why they shouldn't.
But the fact that they made the only gay character in that movie named The Fool is kind of
LeFou.
Not that great.
Yeah.
But yeah, to go check out some movies. Go to your local theater and support them and watch something, especially Power Rangers, because we want that 6-film franchise. Oh, we never even talked about Power Rangers Aftershock, which is the graphic novel that comes after. And it literally shows fucking Angel Grove destroyed, burnt to shit. And then Zach gets mad because like this dude falls out of his van almost to his death and Kimberly saves him. It's like, I need to be faster. I need to be better so I can save everyone.
Calm down.
You know who could save everyone? Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Oh, God damn it.
He had the power to conquer death itself.
Is it possible?
This has been an episode of ZT Podcast.
Is it possible to learn this power?
Not from a Jedi.
Okay, good. There, we got it out of the way.
Why do
you gave me such a good setup yesterday when we were playing Mass Effect.
Yeah. I was like, God damn it, keep freaking dying.
You can find us on Facebook.
I'll do it, Steve.
And Twitter.
But Zach was all like,
Z2 podcast.
Hey, I know how to stop dying. He's like, by not dying? Well, have you ever heard the story of Dark Lady is the Lies? The tragedy of Dark Lady is the Lies. He could stop people from dying.
You can also send us an email at Z2podcasts. That's
plural. As always, this has been a brand new episode of the Z2 podcast. Thank you guys so much for bearing with us, even if you stuck through the Power Rangers spoiler talk. We love you. As always, you guys can find us on Facebook, Twitter, our email at Z2podcasts, as in plural, at gmail.com. And we have our own website, Z2podcast.com.
We got some cool stuff coming up.
We have cool things.
Trying to set some things up.
Lots of cool people. We really want Tim Husky to come on and talk about his butt plug collection.
Not the other, you know, not his credible work. Working on just butt plugs.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about both, but I'm very interested on like where the story began for the butt plug enthusiast.
I don't know.
I think it was the same. Like,
it's a while. It's been a while.
Once upon a time.
I'll be Tim's intro that week. We'll have a lot of cool things coming up. We want to have our other friends that we talk about come on the show. And yeah, so it's lots of cool things, guys. Please make our new year. My birthday is actually coming up, so you guys can give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It'll be
the week that this is out.
Yeah, it'll be that week. So give me a 5-star rating on iTunes as a happy birthday present to me, because I don't celebrate my birthday, and it'd be really cool if someone actually gave a shit. Kidding.
I've come to realize as I've gotten older, I don't care about my birthday as much.
No.
Like, it comes back, I'm like, oh, cool.
I gave up on 18.
Yeah. After 18, I know, I cared about 21, because my parents took me to Vegas, but after that, I was like, eh.
Hey, see, I use it as an excuse to get people together. I was going to say, everyone, we're going out tonight.
This October, we're going to have a celebration because I can rent a fucking car. Woo!
Wait. What? I mean, you can already rent a car.
Yeah, at 25.
At 25.
You just don't get the extra fees.
Yeah, you don't have the extra. You're not considered an underage renter.
But we can always
anymore.
Get a car to go. Yeah. Anyways, thank you for listening to us, guys. Give us a thumbs up or a plus. Leave us some feedback on iTunes, Please. Google Play, or Stitcher Radio, and make our dreams come true. Goodbye, Internet, and as always, it's morphing time.
Go, go. Power Rangers.
I'm sad that it didn't make the communicators.